Section 1, The Outlook. Chapter 1, God's Purpose in the Church.
Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. It is God's purpose to manifest through His people the principles of His kingdom, that in life and character they may reveal these principles. He desires to separate them from the customs, habits, and practices of the world. He seeks to bring them near to Himself, that He may make known to them His will. This was His purpose in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. At the burning bush, Moses received from God the message for the king of Egypt, "Let my people go, that they may serve me," Exodus 7:16. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, God brought out the Hebrew host from the land of bondage. Wonderful was the deliverance He wrought for them, punishing their enemies who refused to listen to His word with total destruction. God desired to take His people apart from the world and prepare them to receive His word. From Egypt, He led them to Mount Sinai, where He revealed to them His glory. Here was nothing to attract their senses or divert their minds from God. And as the vast multitude looked at the lofty mountains towering above them, they could realize their own nothingness in the sight of God. Beside these rocks, immovable except by the power of the divine will, God communicated with men. And that His word might ever be clear and distinct in their minds, He proclaimed amid thunder and lightning and with terrible majesty the law which He had given in Eden and which was the transcript of His character. And the words were written on tables of stone by the finger of God. Thus the will of the infinite God was revealed to a people who were called to make known to every nation, kindred, and tongue the principles of His government in heaven and in earth. To the same work He has called His people in this generation. To them He has revealed His will, and of them He requires obedience. In the last days of this earth's history, the voice that spoke from Sinai is still saying to men, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me," Exodus 20, verse 3. Man has set his will against the will of God, but he cannot silence this word of command. The human mind can never fully comprehend its obligation to the higher power, but it cannot evade the obligation. Profound theories and speculations may abound. Men may try to set science in opposition to revelation and thus do away with the law of God. But stronger and still stronger will the Holy Spirit bring before them the command, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve," Matthew 4, verse 10. How is the world treating the law of God? Everywhere men are working against the divine precepts. In their desire to evade the cross-bearing attendant on obedience, even the churches are taking sides with the great apostate in claiming that the law of God has been changed or abrogated. Men in their blindness boast of wonderful progress and enlightenment, but the heavenly watchers see the earth filled with corruption and violence. Because of sin, the atmosphere of our world has become as the atmosphere of a pest house. A great work is to be accomplished in setting before men the saving truths of the gospel. This is the means ordained by God to stem the tide of moral corruption. This is His means of restoring His moral image in man. It is His remedy for universal disorganization. It is the power that draws men together in unity. To present these truths is the work of the third angel's message. The Lord designs that the presentation of this message shall be the highest, greatest work carried on in the world at this time. Satan is constantly urging men to accept his principles. Thus he seeks to counterwork the work of God. He is constantly representing the chosen people of God as a deluded people. He is an accuser of the brethren, and his accusing power he is constantly using against those who work righteousness. The Lord desires through his people to answer Satan's charges by showing the result of obedience to right principles. All the light of the past, all the light which shines in the present and reaches forth into the future, as revealed in the Word of God, is for every soul who will receive it. The glory of this light, which is the very glory of the character of Christ, is to be manifested in the individual Christian, in the family, in the church, in the ministry of the Word, and in every institution established by God's people. All these the Lord designs shall be symbols of what can be done for the world. They are to be types of the saving power of the truths of the gospel. They are agencies in the fulfillment of God's great purpose for the human race. God's people are to be channels for the outworking of the highest influence in the universe. In Zechariah's vision, the two olive trees which stand before God are represented as emptying the golden oil out of themselves through golden tubes into the bowl of the sanctuary. From this, the lamps of the sanctuary are fed, that they may give a continuous bright and shining light. So from the anointed ones that stand in God's presence, the fullness of divine light and love and power is imparted to his people, that they may impart to others light and joy and refreshing. They are to become channels through which divine instrumentalities communicate to the world the tide of God's love. The purpose which God seeks to accomplish through his people today is the same that he desired to accomplish through Israel when he brought them forth out of Egypt. By beholding the goodness, the mercy, the justice, and the love of God revealed in the church, the world is to have a representation of his character. And when the law of God is thus exemplified in the life, even the world will recognize the superiority of those who love and fear and serve God above every other people on the earth. The Lord has his eye upon every one of his people. He has his plans concerning each. It is his purpose that those who practice his holy precepts shall be a distinguished people. To the people of God today, as well as to the ancient Israel, belong the words written by Moses through the Spirit of inspiration. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Deuteronomy 4, 5-8. Even these words fail of expressing the greatness and the glory of God's purpose to be accomplished through his people. Not to this world only, but to the universe are we to make manifest the principles of his kingdom. The Apostle Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit, says, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3, 8-10. Brethren, we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. 1 Corinthians 4:9. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter 3:11 and 12, margin. In order to manifest the character of God, in order that we may not deceive ourselves, the church, and the world by a counterfeit Christianity, we must become personally acquainted with God. If we have fellowship with God, we are His ministers, though we may never preach to a congregation. We are workers together with God in presenting the perfection of His character in humanity.